Hey everyone, I am the Chosen One Legend here, as always joined by my co-host.
Hi, I'm Kai, also known as Faskarine.
And welcome back to the Bunch of Jokers podcast, where we talk all Nintendo news of the past month. And Kai and I were literally just saying before we started recording, this has been a surprisingly packed October that you would not expect for this late in the month, right?
Yeah, we were saying, like, of course, we had the Direct in September, and we always think, you know, there's normally a sort of dry spell or just updates after the month after a Direct. But no, we've had quite a lot of content this time around.
Indeed, there has been a lot, and a lot of it has been following up from September, but there's still plenty of new stuff revealed to talk about here, so I think if you're ready, Kai, we'll just get started with the show.
Yeah, let's do it.
So let's start things off with our first segment of the podcast. Oh, wait, before I do that, you can find link in the description below. There will be timestamps if you want to hop about between the different sections. But the first of those sections is Can't Have a Podcast Without News, Baby, where we talk about all of the news and highlights from the past month. And starting things off, this doesn't feel like this month, this feels like an eternity ago. But we got Sora revealed as the final Smash DLC character, ending off both expansion passes, and in fact it was revealed that he was the ballot winner, the most demanded character. And we did a reaction video for this with Sam, but Kai wasn't able to make that, so Kai, what was your just initial impressions to the reaction of Sora?
Well, I was in a university lecture.
Yeah.
I literally had it like on my phone in my pocket. But the lecturer was talking to me, so I didn't actually get to see a lot of it. But the very first bit I caught, the very part of the clip that I saw, was the fire and then the Mickey logo.
Yeah.
That was like the only part of it I basically saw. And I was like, oh, cool, Sora.
Yeah.
I'm very happy with Sora in Smash. I think, you know, like I was saying it similarly to Steve with Minecraft sales, but I think Sora is probably, again, if he's the most voted for ballot fighter, he's, you know, the most deserved character to be in Smash. I think it's a great inclusion because the Kingdom Hearts series is, you know, it's big, it's popular. Sora's a good character. I think he's a very good fit in Smash. I've never played a Kingdom Hearts game, nor do I really have that much personal connection to the series. But I just think, yeah, he's a really good character to have in there. I like how he's not too complicated in the gameplay. I like how it's fairly simple, but you've still got the cool free hit combo mechanic.
Yeah, he's got some really interesting mechanics, and let's get to that now, because of course since then we've got to be actually play as him. He released in the middle of the month, and I mean, you've seen how I play as him if you watch this channel, which may not be the best example of his gameplay, but that aside, he is really fun. Having a character who's mostly focused on the aerials, It's an interesting twist, like you say, without being too much of a complicated character, which I think is a nice balance for a final one.
Yeah, it feels good. It's like kind of like, you know, characters like Banjo, where they don't have all these huge over-the-top mechanics like a lot of the DLC does. It's just a very feeling good character, nice and simple, gets the job done, except when you're using side B.
Yeah, evidently so. But yeah, it's just a really nice character to render on. Even though, like you, I don't have a connection to Kingdom Hearts at all, it's very clear how hype he is. Just knowing people like our friend Gabe, for example, who's so hyped for Sora, that got me hyped. Mm-hmm. And in general, we talked about this a bit in our ranking of the reveal trailers we did. Check that video out if you haven't. But what these characters do, it's not just about representing them to the fans of the series. It's also about just showing people who aren't fans of these series who these characters are. And the DLC has just done a consistently fantastic job about doing that through both their gameplay and the trailers. And now I really want to try out Kingdom Hearts. It's on my long list. Because actually, looking back at it, through the entire Smash DLC, the only characters that I'd played, from Ultimate, the only characters I played beforehand were Pyromithra, because I played Xenoblade 2. The other series I'd never really tried out at the time. But since then, you know, I've played Fire Emblem Three Houses and loved it. I've played Final Fantasy VII. I've played, not Banjo-Kazooie yet, but that's coming to Nintendo Switch Online soon. And I've got Persona 5 on my PlayStation now. There's all these series that, because of Smash, I'm going to get into trying. So it's really been a wild run of the DLC. And thank you, Sakurai, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. I think the DLC's been great with adding in you know, mainly sort of good third-party characters, because it was always a Nintendo party game, and it's like, oh, but Sonic and Snake are there too, and oh look, Pac-Man and Mega Man are there now too, and it's like, but they were like, oh, it's a neat addition because it's a third party character. Now it's like, look at this, it's an all-star cast.
Yeah.
Not quite a Nickelodeon all-star cast, but it's an all-star cast. And it's really good to see, you know, characters like, you know, Sephiroth, for example, just sort of get in there with everyone else. And then on top of that, you know, just bringing in a couple of characters from series within Nintendo that are good, like Pyramithra and Min Min. I know a lot of people aren't a fan of the inclusions compared to the third-party characters, but I thought that they were great to have in there to round out the Nintendo cast, and it's not like they took up all the slots or anything, so...
Definitely, they got a pretty good balance, so
yeah, exactly.
I am not going to be stopping playing Smash anytime soon, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But let's move on to our next... Well, I will quickly mention also, Kingdom Hearts Cloud versions are also coming to Switch. I'm not sure why. I guess it's nice to have the option, but I can imagine that being painful, so...
Yeah, I don't think I'm planning on getting it on there.
It's nice to have the option, though. I'm going to try and get it on PlayStation at some point. But our next news story is actually one that I'd forgotten about till just this morning. I was looking through past stories. It's actually been revealed that Pokemon are going to be at Universal Studios Japan in some capacity, starting from 2022. Because at the moment, we've just got Mario section, and we know that a Donkey Kong section is coming. But the possibility of a Pokemon at a theme park, I thought that sounds pretty interesting. What ideas do you think they could do with this, Kai?
There's so much. I mean, Pokemon is such a big franchise, and for one, I think it would be really popular, but then ideas for theme park rides, I mean, the possibilities. I would like to say a couple of options, like, you know, taking stuff from Nimbasa City in Unova, particularly Elisa's gym is in Black and White 1, it's like a roller coaster type place.
Yes,
with these things that you get into, you know.
I've actually played that one for once, so
I think that would be a great concept, but in reality they're probably only going to do stuff that represents Gen 1. I mean, well, this is the Pokemon series, is that they kept on making new things. Everyone was like, I go back to Gen 1. But then they went back to Gen 1 and did it a little bit too much.
Just a little bit.
There's still loads of options, though. I mean, I think probably something to do with, like, a Magikarp Gyarados ride would be really cool.
Yeah. I'm not sure if it's just going to be, like... It might just start off as just merchandising and maybe, like, costumes in parades or something. I don't know if they actually are planning to make rides, but something like a Magikarp thing would be a good idea if they go down that route.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many options for what you could do with Pokemon. And they've already got so much Yeah. Mm. They've already got so much merchandise anyway with... they have, like, the Poke Center in Japan as well, so...
Right, yeah.
It's like, you know, there's so much they can do there. It's crazy. So, yeah, the possibilities really are endless for that franchise.
All I'll say is, gotta spend them all, because that's gonna be a hefty price, I can imagine.
Oh, yeah.
Even if you live in Japan, but especially if you have to travel abroad there, so I don't see me going anytime soon, imagine. But it sounds cool.
Goodness. That's an aspiration, for sure.
Yeah, long way away. Maybe a big bunch of Jokers group trip one day, we'll never know.
There you go.
But until then, we've still got stuff to do at home, because... New Horizons, Animal Crossing New Horizons, revealed its free update, and it actually just came out today, the day that we're recording this, so kind of a day early, but they revealed a lot of stuff, and before we get to the DLC, which is a whole other thing, the free update includes stuff such as Brewster and the Roost, Cap'n is here doing boat tours to new islands, there's cooking mechanics now where you can cook different dishes and present them, Gyroids are back. Permanent ladders you can place up in your island, and of course, Froggy Chair is back. That's a lot
Let's
of stuff.
I think I've so much good stuff that everyone wanted. Is the thing.
Especially Froggy Chair, but everything there. It's just, it's quite impressive, honestly. It's definitely the biggest update they've done, and they've said it's going to be the final update we're getting outside of the DLC, which we'll talk about. But whilst there are some things that I wish they'd done, like smoothed over menus and cleared up quality of life in that regards, they've done a lot of good stuff here. The permanent ladders is going to be a big thing, because I hate having to pull out that from my inventory every time I want to climb an elevation. So that's quite nice. In general, it's just smoothing over the game and making it the best it can be on Switch, basically.
Yeah, I think, I mean, even without like going into specific editions, I think all of it was brilliant. All of the ideas are like, you know, this is really good. This is what it makes it a real Animal Crossing game. I am, you know, I feel like it is slightly late because the game has literally been out for a year and a half. You know, it's like Super Mario Party adding in multiplayer that late on. It's a bit of a weird one that it's taken so long. I guess they were just busy doing it all. But I'm glad that it's at least here now and the game is somewhat complete. I am really missing sort of multiplayer modes, you know, more to not only, you know, have people be active in multiplayer, but also just making it so you can travel to islands easier. And it's a shame that, you know, especially in that aspect, it's not been fleshed out because I feel like that's one of the things that, you know, a lot of people really wanted. But, you know, you give and take, it's fine.
I do wish that Cappin's Island Tours things worked a bit more like it did in the 3DS. Instead, it sort of seems like just a slight variation on the normal island tours you go on in this game. It doesn't seem much different to that. So it would have been nice if they added like some multiplayer games you could do on those islands like 3DS had. But still, overall, at this point, I sort of accepted that that might just be it for Animal Crossing. They might have stopped it. So I'm glad that they at least gave it one final push. It may not get me fully back into the game. I'm never going to be like I was at the start. There's probably other people we could have probably had on to talk about that in more depth, like our friend Beemore Duck, who I know is really looking forward to it. But it's still just a nice addition to have. And I'm glad to see they gave it that last push. Speaking of the last push, that wasn't the only thing they announced, because we're getting Happy Home Paradise, a DLC, which also comes free as part of Nintendo Switch Online expansion. That's a whole other thing we'll get to in a minute. But it basically is like the Happy Home Designer on 3DS, except rather than being its own separate thing, it's part of the game, and it's your own separate place that you go to create homes for different villagers. And you can even bring some of the things you learn into the main game, such as creating pillars and partitions for your own house. What do you think of this expansion, Kai?
I think it's a good idea. I've not really been too invested in like exactly what's going on there, just because it's not my personal cup of tea. But it looks really good. I do like the ideas they have there, where you know you've got to make houses for these specific characters. The new characters they introduced in it were very good. I know I can't remember the name of it, but I know the new monkey character is quite popular. So I do like what they've done there. I think it's going to be just a really good addition. For those who are still playing Animal Crossing and still really enjoying it, I think this is going to be great for them.
It's generally, I've seen often whenever a company announces DLC, there's a lot of controversy. Again, something we'll get to later. But I've seen with Animal Crossing that it's been remarkably positive. Everyone's been really happy about this expansion pass and with it being DLC, because it's unlike the 3DS where it was its own separate game, having it as DLC means it's more inherently connected to your own villager and your own island, and the way you can link things back makes it a much more inviting or appealing thing to buy rather than just having your own separate thing like the 3DS game was. Whilst I've got to admit, I'm always bad at the architecture side of things.
Yeah, same.
I made my Animal Crossing house has basically been the same since launch, with the exception of a Christmas room, which is the same as it was since last Christmas. So I never really get much into the house's thing side of things. But because I'm able to, I wouldn't have bought this, but because I can get it as part of the expansion pass, I'm gonna give it a crack and see what it's like. But either way, it's a really nice addition for those who are looking for this kind of building thing. People who want to experiment but don't want to change their own houses and can now do it with a different way. It's smart. It's very smart from Nintendo, so I think that's a
I
good way
guess you
to
could
round out the
say
game.
they're going to be the people who buy it are going to be happy home designers.
You could indeed say that, Kai. You get a slow clap from me for that one.
Oh, I feel like there's lingering disappointment in those claps, but oh
Well, speaking of lingering disappointment, Kai, you have provided me the perfect segue. Not for us, because I think we're both on the same mind of this, but alongside this Animal Crossing Direct where they revealed all this, we also got finally the pricing for the Nintendo Switch Online Expansion Pass, which was revealed last month and includes Nintendo 64 games, Sega Genesis games, and the expansion pass for Animal Crossing. And before we get to the quality of the service itself, let's just talk about the initial price reveal. It's £60 for a family plan, £35 an individual in the UK, which is double the price. And that is quite a bit of an increase, which I don't think people were expecting. And in America even, it's over double the price. I'll admit I'm not too sympathetic, because usually we're the ones who have things more expensive. So sorry, America, sure. It's about time it's your turn. But that is a lot to ask. What was your reaction to seeing the price, Kai, out of curiosity?
At first, I thought it was quite steep. I was like, this is, you know, a bit more than I was expecting. You know, I wasn't too glad about that.
Yeah.
I was thinking, like, you know, normally it's what is it, like £18 for a single account normally?
Yeah.
So the fact that they doubled it, and then the one thing that was added was a bunch of N64 games, I was thinking, like, is it worth it? I was trying to sort of think in my mind, because, you know, on one hand, the games are gems, because, you know, there's, like, Paper Mario 64, for example, the original.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, games like that, Banjo, all of that's really cool to be having, especially online. But I was thinking, does it warrant them doubling the price?
Yeah.
Then the idea of family plans was brought up. And yep. I was like, this has turned into feeling a bit like a scam, admittedly, with a single account, to being an absolute steal with a family plan.
It's like, crazy.
Looking at the prices, how much is it for the family plan again? Is it 60?
£60, yeah.
Yeah, so divide that up between 8 people. That is an absolute steal.
£7.50 each.
Complaining and whining about how expensive it is and how it's not worth it or whatever. It's like, but if you can get some people to split it up with,
honestly,
it's really good.
Even if you only get 2 people to split it up with, you're paying £20 for a year, which is still a very good price for what you're getting. £20. Yeah. That's only £3 more than an individual membership. So,
it's
family plan.
People liking to complain, because honestly, once you like just take one singular step back and put more than 5 seconds of thought into it, it's really good.
It's funny because I almost wonder if that's why they priced it so expensively, knowing people would do this, because before I was just paying an individual membership, you know, and it was like £17, it's not much, I won't bother with a family plan. But doubling the price caused me to finally get into doing that, and now I'm paying less for more, so I've made a big profit out of this in that way, which is great. I do understand that you really, you know, you shouldn't have to use a workaround to get a decent price. Not, there might be some people who might struggle getting it, but the fact that you can use this workaround to not just get a really decent price, but an absolute bloody steal, that definitely eases it a lot. And especially because it's optional. It's not like this is a forced price increase. If you don't care about 64 games, you know, you don't have to get it.
It's completely optional, is the thing.
Yeah. And so I was
like, everyone's complaining and just ugh, it's all ugh.
I was thinking, I actually said before, I don't know if I said this on the podcast or if I just said it to friends, but I was like, even if they double the price, this is probably worth it for me, 64 games. And whilst I didn't say that expecting them to actually double the price, I still think paying £35 a year, for me, it would have been worth it, because Nintendo 64 games do add a lot of value, especially the later ones incoming, like Paper Mario, like you said. But even the current ones, and playing them online with friends, that does add a lot of value to it. I've definitely got a lot of value already from the 2 weeks or 1 week we've had it.
Yeah.
And that was if it was £35. But the fact that if you use Family Plan, you can get it a lot less, yeah, that really makes it an incredible deal. So I can see why some people aren't happy with it doubling the price, but my recommendation to you is get a family plan. Find anyone you can, and yeah, just do it. It's the biggest scam since the turnips on Animal Crossing.
Yeah,
you know, so well, go for it.
I mean, the thing is like there were loads of people like showing. Do you remember the thing a while back when Sonic Colors came to the Switch?
Yeah,
and everyone, like, there was this video circulating of it being broken, and everyone was like, "Oh, Nintendo's so bad! Look at all this!" And like, you know, I'm not gonna be like a pro Nintendo everything, because not everything they do is perfect. But you know, everyone was just ragging on the game because of this one clip that people said probably, you know, might not even been real, or it was just one instance. And the same thing's happened here, where there's like one or two clips of like really extreme connection problems going on with it. And it's like, but everyone else has played it and it's fine. It's just
Yeah, I've
these
had a great
people.
time online.
I feel like it's all these people who haven't bought it are sharing around one or two videos of it not working and being like, guys, look at how bad this is. Oh my God, I have no life. Like, come on.
Another thing is like that one of the complaints is like about input lag with specifically with Ocarina of Time, and it might be there. I've played it, but it's so minimal that the average person, 90% of people, aren't going to notice. And whilst I still get, I get asking Nintendo to fix it, because if you are someone who notices it, yes, you should get the best version of this game. But it's been so blown out of proportion ultimately, where in the first place it's a small thing in one of the games. Literally, none of the other Nintendo 64 games have that input lag problem, and Ocarina barely has it. But now it's like it's somehow spread that the entire service doesn't function and doesn't work, and it's like that's not the case at all. I get there are complaints with it. I think you have to take it by the most expensive price. You have to take it by the £35, and for that, I think there are some things they should have, like button mapping should be a basic feature. You know, there are
Yeah, I
valid
agree there.
complaints, and I think I get like some of the things that are changed in the emulation. I don't know how emulation works exactly, but like some fog effects from Ocarina of Time are missing, and I get that's a valid complaint, but it's nowhere near as huge a deal as people are making it out to be, and that's ultimately it. It's these blowing things out of proportion and exaggerating, which is that's Twitter for you, that's the internet for you, but
Yeah,
I'm
I'm
happy
with
with
you there.
it.
Yeah. Like, that's the thing, is that I'm definitely not opposed to valid complaints being made about it, like you say, about things not being rendered in properly and, you know, quality of life things that should have been simple to implement. Yeah, like, we agree, they definitely should have done that. But that does not warrant the other group of people who are like, oh, no one should buy this, this is terrible, ah, scum. And it's like, it's optional, like, you don't have to buy
Exactly, yeah.
it.
If you don't,
You know, it's an option.
if you want to
Why are you so pressed about
emulate.
this?
If you want to
Yeah,
do that on
just
your laptop, go
yeah.
for it. We're not stopping
That's
you.
my exact fault. Like, you know, if you want to emulate it instead, go on ahead. You know, I'm not gonna stop you. I'm not gonna complain. Like, just go and emulate it. But shut up about telling everyone else to go and do it. Just do it. Like, just
It's
emulate it. Go and
that meme of like the stop having fun, you know, where
Yeah.
it's
Like,
larger
go
that.
and emulate it, but stop telling everyone else how much better it is. We don't, you know, we know. We've heard it enough.
Yeah, I'm glad to just have these options to just play it quickly on my Switch when I want to when I'm out. It's nice to have.
Yeah.
I've played some online with friends and it's been very fun. Mario Tennis with our friend Jack. We did Mario Kart on a friend's stream, so it's been really good, yeah.
Yeah.
It's just been a great time.
Ran over.
Rant over. We can move on now. What else should we rant about next? Okay, no, we've got good stuff next. It's fine. So, yeah, we've had a good time with it. But our final news story actually here is Pokemon, actually. We're going back to Pokemon. Because sort of throughout the month, we got some sort of trailers focused on Legends Arceus, specifically revealing a new Hisuian form for Zoroark and Zoroark. Now, Kai, do you want to go into this? Because you probably know more than me here.
Honestly, I've not looked too much into it outside of the trailer and bio, but I think this is a cool idea. It was not the one I was expecting because they had like the little mystery video the day before it was released with just the audio. I was not expecting another Gen 5 Pokemon because almost every single Hisuian form has been Gen 5 apart from just I think Growlithe and Weirdeer or whatever it's called. And the rest of them have all been Gen 5, but I'm not complaining cause Gen 5 Pokemon are sick. But yeah, I think that it's a really cool idea. Zoroark, if you didn't know, going into Gen 5 for all the promotion, Zoroark was kind of the big showcase Pokemon. You know how like Lucario is for Gen 4. It was kind of that big showcase Pokemon, very popular. There was like a movie for it as well that was all right, I guess. But yeah, I think the Hisuian form's cool. I like the lore behind it. I think it kind of does fit somewhat. I don't know everything about Pokemon lore, but I think it fits.
It's equally horrifying, isn't it? So
Yeah. The colors look cool. It really reminds me of I think it's Dusk Lycanroc from Gen 7. Looks very similar. It's got the same. It's another wolf Pokemon that has a red and white color palette. But I do still really like how this looks. It sort of looks a bit more ethereal, which fits with what it's got going on. And the biggest thing for me is the typing. Now, I have always wanted a normal ghost type Pokemon, and this is the first one that they've, or the first line that's ever had that.
Oh, nice.
Going into statistics, normal ghost is a surprisingly good type because it's immune to normal fighting and ghost. It's
Damn.
like insane. Like three immunities is insane. And then on top of that, I think it's only got one resistance and two immunity. Sorry, one resistance and two weaknesses or something. So
Right.
its typing is really good, and it should be really interesting if people start using it, not even competitively, but just sort of using it in battles. So
Yeah.
overall, not the pick I expected, and didn't think they'd go for a prominent Gen 5 Pokemon again. But I'm very happy with it. I think it looks cool.
Yeah, I don't have much to say. I'm not a Pokemon knowledgeable guy, but it looks really cool. And I've sort of been teasing this a little bit, but I guess I'll sort of announce this a bit more officially now. We do have a video upcoming where we're going to be creating our own Hisuian forms with the help of Sam, our graphic designer. So if you want to see more concepts of what could be rather than what is, and maybe they actually will be, that video will be coming soon. So stay tuned for that. It'll be interesting to see. We don't know what each other has picked, so it'll be interesting to see what's come up with.
Yeah, it should be good.
But that does bring us to the end of our news stories. So we'll move swiftly on to our final segment of the podcast. We only have two now. We used to have three. Rest in peace. Keep your stinking future. It's long dead now. But this is Games Time, baby, where we talk about the games that we've been playing throughout the past month. And I'm going to start things off with something actually here that is a very recent thing. It literally came out and I've beaten it within the past week. And that is the Age of Calamity expansion pass, the second pack, Guardian of Remembrance. And I think it sort of fell under the radar a little bit. I haven't seen many people talking about it. I think with Mario Party coming out, which I have got, but that'll be a next month thing, with all these sort of news and Nintendo Switch Online, it's sort of gone a bit dormant, but I actually really enjoyed it. I think it's a really good DLC set. We're not talking Torn the levels here. I don't think it's even as good as the Champion's Ballad, but it's still good fun, and I think Champion's Ballad is probably the best comparison we have for it because rather than being its own completely unique story, it's different memories, it's fragments of memories telling of battles that happened during the main story, and getting to experience these little new missions with new cutscenes. And it's just nice, wholesome fun seeing more interaction with the champions, seeing stuff with the Yiga clan. It fills in a lot of gaps in the story that sort of left some questions in the main story, but now we've sort of got answers to them in a satisfying way with some character development. So, in general, I was quite impressed by how it did that, especially with the new maps, for example, Kakuko Village, which, as you can imagine, is a really
Oh,
interesting
they made
idea
that
for
a
a
map
stage.
now. That's really
Yeah,
cool.
Kakuko Village,
I
it's got
like
like the
that.
main village, you've got the fairies fountain bit, you can go to all of it. It's,
Oh,
and
that's
two,
neat.
I think there's two others. There's one focusing around the Colosseum in that area, and then there's
Oh,
one
that's
focusing on,
cool.
I can't remember what it's called, but it's that long sort of cav, not cavern, it's like a canyon with like ruins going over a river, a long river. It lead
Which region is it in?
it's by Hatano. It's by Kakuko Village. It's sort of behind it, I suppose. I don't know how to explain it. It's just a really long set of ruins, like a long bridge going over a river, and it's in between like this canyon with walls on either side. But
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about.
one of
Yeah,
the
I think I
memories
need
is at the
to.
end of it, and it leads into a little
Yeah,
snowy area. Yeah.
the ruins.
And it's just they make really good maps. It's really a lot of fun to play with. And then we've got the new characters. Now, I won't talk about the second one because it's a bit of a secret character, but they're really fun. I enjoy their gameplay a lot. Some interesting mechanics. Might be my favorite gameplay wise, honestly. They're really, really good stuff there. But I can talk
Well, that
about
sounds
Pura
good.
and Robbie. And I know, Kai, you're excited about Pura and Robbie. And
Yes.
they play just as great as you would expect them to. They are a
Oh, that's
duo,
brilliant.
with basically Robbie using ancient weapons and Pura sort of there activating stuff. So she's in the background cheering him on, saying click snap a dozen times, and it's all great. You'll have Robbie posing and doing the little guitar riff, and it's full of their character and personalities. And I think the best aspect to this is their unique action, which essentially creates an invention that replicates a divine beast power, and it cycles between all four of them.
Oh, Oh, but, that's cool.
But the unique action to this is that Pooh is the one activating it, and because of that, Robbie can actually get caught in it. He can get affected by them. So you have to avoid them. I mean, they don't do damage, they just stun you, I believe. But it just adds the extra character to it, that Pooh just doesn't give a shit about Robbie. She's just activating it, and he just somehow gets caught in the attack, if you're not careful. So it's just full of their charm and personality. It's really good. That is my main criticism with the DLC in that regards. Both these characters you unlock after the extra story levels. The story levels focus on like the champions and stuff. So you get these new characters to play as.
What, but there's no new levels to play?
Well, I mean, other than replaying older stuff, and they each come with like a tutorial small mission and an extra small mission. But they don't get their own full levels. They're just like the extra small missions. Yeah. And there's only like three of them. So you've got these new characters, but you don't have anything to do with them really if you've beat the game at this point. Like I have. I've got 100%. So I kind of want to play as these guys, but there's not really anything I can do with them now. So
that's a little sucky. I know they had something similar in the base game with a few characters as well, where you couldn't get them until you'd done basically everything else.
Yeah, it's the same.
It's like a bad idea from a gameplay perspective. Why would you do that?
Yeah, there are a few extra, not full levels, but small extra missions that unlock afterwards. But even those are quite difficult ones, so you're not going to be wanting to use your brand new characters for them. You're going to be wanting to use the characters you've got leveled up and have learned and mastered their moves. So it kind of, I can see myself going back to it in like a few months or so and just replaying old levels for fun and using them, but it was sort of like, this character's great. But now I've done everything, so I wish that the new story levels, whilst it was cool seeing stuff with the champions, we got that in the main game. I wish these new story levels focused on these characters instead. I felt like that would have made more sense. But ultimately, I'm still very glad that we had these additions and these new areas, and it was a lot of fun. Some nice new music in there as well, so
That's good.
It could have been better, but it was good, and I enjoyed it, so I'd recommend it still. Yeah.
That's a very odd decision, isn't it?
I know,
Anyway, I've been saying from day one that Robbie and Pure would be brilliant playable characters because they're plot relevant, and just the idea of ancient weapons. I've been saying there's so much potential. It's good to see that they're finally using that.
It's too late for this now, but I wish they were in Smash. That would be so fun.
Honestly, yeah. That would have been great. Do they have spirits, Robbie, Age of Calamity?
I can't remember. I don't think they did. They added Age of Calamity spirits, but I think it was just the Guardian Egg, Young Impa, and something else, like a monk or something. Okay. Yeah, but would it be nice? Yeah. But Kai, what have you been playing?
Real quick, does Age of Calamity, that doesn't have New Game Plus, does it?
I don't think so. I haven't, not that I'm aware of, no.
Because normally I don't play New Game Plus, so it's just not something I've done in any game. But
that would be
I
a good
like
time
if
for
the
them.
Characters couldn't have been unlocked until the end, doing a New Game Plus where you do have all the characters unlocked, that would have been perfect.
That would have made sense, actually.
It would have been the way to justify it, but anyway,
Maybe it does, but I don't know that it does, so... Yeah. But what have you been playing, Kai?
I've been playing one game mainly for the last month or so. And
it's the Peppa Pig game that released on Switch, isn't it?
Yeah, and I've got to say, I really like the gameplay of it. It's pretty complex. Mm. There are only like two buttons, but you know, it goes so deep in the gameplay.
Stream it one day.
I feel like the arc with George was quite deep.
Mm. Dinosaur.
Wow. Yeah, it's cool that they brought the voice actor from Xenoblade Chronicles 1, Mikhail, to voice Daddy Pig. That was great.
Glorious.
I'm pretty sure they got. I'm pretty sure Pepper was voiced by Chris Pratt as well. That was an odd decision.
Oh god.
Okay. Oh god.
Yeah. You were saying?
Yeah. Anyway, Kid Icarus Uprising. Let's get on to the game.
Yes.
And oh boy, yeah, what a good game. I'd never played it before a couple months ago, but bought it and got it. I've been having a blast, I've got to say. It's I already knew that it was a very funny game. I'd watched Choco Conroy's playthrough of it, so I roughly knew what was going on. But just playing the game myself and understanding it further, like, the game is so good. Like, there's so much Sakurai charm in there that you can tell from the menus and all the customization. Like, it's just brilliant. Like, the levels are really well made. I feel like they're just the right length a lot of the time. The music is amazing.
Oh,
One of
yes.
my favorite tracks being so one that I don't see is talked about too much, but the Aurum Island theme from the land stage there is really, it's like a jazzy sort of thing, which I wasn't expecting, but when I heard it in the game, I just stopped moving and put the volume up to max.
It's so good.
But yeah, like, so I think the plot is brilliant. I mean, of course, the thing everyone talks about is the humor, right? The humor in the game is brilliant with the writing.
Voice acting as well.
Yeah, characters are very well written and voiced. But even outside of that, I just thought the general way that the plot progressed was very good. You know, the game was clearly split into different arcs of who the, you know, main enemies you were fighting were. And I feel like those were all very well paced. I feel like every arc brought something new and interesting, so I just overall really enjoyed every single part of it. The gameplay feels good. I was getting cramps when I was playing for like the first 5 hours or so. But after that, honestly, I don't have cramps at all playing the game anymore. I feel like I'm much more fluent in holding the DS properly. So everyone who complains about it, I guess just play the game more, get good,
It's
scrub.
like a workout, yeah. Gotta train
Yeah,
yourself.
once you get used to it does feel all right, to be honest. It's not bad, but I'm really enjoying using like claws, and then Gabe has got me a silver boa. He got me that on Street Pass, and that carried me through the rest of the game. But I just like how much variation there is in weapons. Fusing weapons goes so deep with all the different effects. I've been very diligent on diligent. Oh, I don't know why I said diligent. Diligent on the speed runs. I've been going through like the Hades treasure hunt now, which is the hardest one.
Oh, yeah.
And those are difficult. They're really difficult. But I've been enjoying it nonetheless, trying to play it almost daily. Overall, just really solid game, I've got to say. Like, there's
Yeah.
so much to talk about there, but it's just brilliant. I don't know how it'd work if they were to make a sequel on Switch, and I know they said that the
Oh.
series was finished, but
I would love
man,
it.
it's just so, it's genuinely, yeah, one of the best games on the 3DS, like people say.
It really is. I mean, I first played it several years ago. I borrowed it from a friend and then beat it and really enjoyed it. And just like 2 years ago or so, I bought it secondhand in CX. I found it for not too much. And I played a little bit myself, but didn't get enough time to fully replay the main game. So it's on my very ever-growing list of games I need to play again. But it's so good. And I mean, just you talking about it now has made me want to pick up my 3DS. It's just such a really great game. And I really hope that they take the series somewhere else one day, especially now Sakurai's done with Smash, at least for now. But who knows if it will happen, but I would love it because it's a
It
very
would
unique
be an
game.
absolute joy.
Yeah, there's nothing quite like it. There's nothing that captures the essence of the game in quite the same way. So especially the
That's one of
flying
the
sections.
charms.
I love the flying sections so much. But But I guess speaking of really fantastic games, I've got my last game to talk about is honestly one of the best games I've ever played. I am not no exaggeration there.
So you
Metroid
also
Dread.
played the Peppa Pig. Oh,
Oh
okay.
yeah, I played Peppa Pig Dread, yeah. You know, the bit when Daddy Pig chases you through those special sections in the game and it's terrifying. It really gets the heart racing. But Metroid Dread, man. I was anticipating it so much. You saw my reaction when it was announced in the direct reaction. As I mentioned last month, I played through the previous Metroid entries in the build up to it. Some I played for the first time, some I played before, and I was full on board ready for this, and it still blew me away with just how good and how polished it is. It is one of the most polished, perfected games I've ever played. It is so smooth because Mercury Steam, who of course made Samus Returns on the 3DS, which was my favorite before this, this is now my favorite Metroid game, I should say. That they took everything they learned from that game, and now that they were not doing a remake, they were doing a fully unique new entry. They were able to just go wild with it and expand things, take the counter move, make it more badass, make it more fluid, add movement to Samus like the slide move, which is huge in not just escaping the Emmys in those sections, which are terrifying and tense in the perfect way, but also just in your general maneuverability. It makes Samus feel the most fluid that she ever has. And it's remarkable exactly how they've crafted the game as an overall structure. Because I've said before in my last month talking about the previous games, there's sort of a bit of an odds between some people prefer the linear and some people prefer the exploration games, which is why every game has its own new fans, really. But this game gets a really special balance between both, where you are exploring these different sections, you are backtracking between areas. You're going from area 2 to 4 to 3 to 2 to 5, back to 1 to 2, like all over the place. But it guides you there so naturally, like you never get lost. It always...
That's a relief.
It isn't like Metroid Fusion even, where you speak to Adam and he goes, go to this exact location. Rather, the game has clever ways of blocking off paths at certain points and doing things that funnel you in the right direction. And there's still elements you can explore, and of course there's puzzles you need to solve to progress, and you need to figure out how you get to this place sometimes, but it's never completely left up to you. There's always a bit of guidance just through natural world design, and it's so cleverly done. It generally impressed me an incredible amount just how well they crafted the overall experience. Not to mention, and this is one thing that took me off guard really, is without going into spoilers, there's a lot of lore stuff in here. If you've played the previous entries, there's a lot of good big story moments and twists and things that build off of the previous games. If you're playing it for the first time, you'll still be fine. But for those fans, there's a lot of stuff to look forward to in there. And just all in general, it just left me to one of the greatest experiences I've had playing the game in a while. It was just so fluid and perfect. It's probably in my top 10 games ever. It probably is. It's just that good. It's very rare that I play a game and I instantly want to replay it afterwards, but in this case, I did. I tried a speedrun, and I don't know any of the techniques or the skips, which, by the way, it's awesome that they have skips built into the game for speedrunners, but I didn't know any of those. But just doing it as fast as I could with my own knowledge, I managed to get it done in 3 hours and 30 minutes, my second run, which I was quite happy with. But the fact I could easily see myself going back to this game every few months just to do a quick run of it. It's cool, it's atmospheric. Samus is incredibly badass, especially with like her boss finishes and stuff. It's easily the most badass Nintendo character. Link's, no, not even close, it's Samus. So it's just such a good game. And if you haven't played this game, you got to play it. Add it to your list, whether you've played a Metroid game or not. It is so, so good. I'm going to cut myself off because I could really do an entire video just talking about what I enjoyed about Metroid Dread, but it's good.
one of the biggest things is, you know, you're saying for people to try it, but they announced recently that, a Metroid Dread demo is available.
Yeah, the demo's there, so if you're on the fence and you're not sure...
I will be trying that.
Absolutely, yeah, go for it, because it is the kind of game that shows you exactly what it is instantly, you know, so a demo would be perfect for this game. So if you're on the fence, absolutely try that out, and you wouldn't probably not be disappointed. It's really fun. Hard. It can be quite difficult at times, but it's always fair. There's frequent checkpoints, so you never feel like you have to retread loads of ground or anything, so it's got a good balance.
Definitely seems to have very good replayability with that. I do like when they do have speedrunner functionality, so...
Yeah, there's been some crazy stuff people have pulled off, especially involving, you know, things like the speed boost and that, which is always the game breaker in Metroid games. It always has been, but it's good to see that continues here. So there's a lot to look forward to for fans of the series and new people. So try it out, definitely.
Okay.
But I believe that is it. I had to catch my breath then. I went on the long rant. But... That is it for this podcast. So thank you so much, all of you, for watching. And just stay tuned to the rest of the podcast. If you haven't already, please subscribe. And because we've got plenty more coming up. We mentioned that you've got the Hisuian Pokemon Forums video coming up. We've also got our regular monthly podcast. And all sorts of things coming up soon as well. So do stay tuned. And in the meantime, Kai, where can people find you at?
They can find me at my Twitch at Faskorine. And I'm almost done with Great Ace Attorney, the first game. I will probably, with no spoilers, of course, talk about that when I have finished it. But we're almost done and moving on to other things.
Like the Peppa Pig game.
Yeah, well, one thing to look out for is, alongside the Metroid Dread demo, which I'm going to try, is Voice of Cards released recently. So
Yeah.
I'm going to be playing the demo and then, sort of giving my thoughts on that, because that looks really good. From the brief bits I've seen, it looks amazing. So
I
a
enjoyed the
lot to be
demo,
looking
yeah.
forward to. Yeah, and I'll be trying to display a lot of the hype on the streams when we get to it. So look forward to that on Thursdays particularly.
Yeah, there'll be a link in the description below, so go check the channel out. And also, of course, a big thanks to Sam, our graphic designer, who makes the logo and thumbnails and all of the channel art you see here. So thank you once again, Sam. And that is it for the end of the episode. So thank you all for watching, and we will see you in the next video. Take care.
Bye.